Thank you, Keith and Jennifer. Beautiful job. And Becky, beautiful job on the piano. Before I jump into the message, I do want to share a brief commercial. There are brochures at the Welcome Center. It says leadership. Leadership. The lead in there, always learning, pursuing excellence, aligning to the vision, and developing others. So as leaders, we should be always learning, pursuing excellence, aligning to the vision, and developing others. So I'm inviting men to participate once a month for the next 9 months. We're going to meet October, November, skip December, and then January through May. There's a schedule in here, some material we will be reading through together as we strive to grow as men, as leaders in our homes, leaders in our families, leaders in our places of work. It's going to go beyond just leadership in the church, but the focus is on leadership in the church. But we can take these principles and build ourselves up. So this is not something I've been through all the, I haven't been through all the material, but it's something that we're going to grow together in. So I want to invite you men, grab a brochure and consider participating. We're going to spread it out. So it won't be overwhelming all at once. Well, today, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Matthew 9:9. I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. You might have a different version, but you can read right along. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who had great wisdom, yet he was never condescending to anyone. He was an upright man without sin upon this earth, though he didn't separate himself from anyone. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners, calling them to a better life. So today, Father, as we look at the life of Jesus and the lessons that he gave, I pray that you would change our lives. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember the game Simon Says? You know, Simon Says, pat your head. Simon Says, rub your belly. Stop. Simon Says, stop. Maybe we should play around. Stand up. If you would, stand up. Okay, you all are out because I didn't say Simon Says. Now, have you ever wondered who Simon is? Who in the world is Simon that he has such authority to say? So I looked this up. I was wondering who Simon is. And an idea, I don't know how accurate this is, it was in Wikipedia, so you just never know, but in 1264, Simon de Montfort captured King Henry III and his son, and he took over and began to change the rules. And some people said, "Well, we can't be doing that," and others will say, "But Simon says," or, "What are we supposed to do here? The laws have been thrown out. Let's check to see what Simon says." And that's where this supposedly the game originated. Now, some people look at the church as one big game of Jesus says. And when they can't get it right, they're out. They give up. It's one big game of Jesus says, and there are all these rules and all these boundaries, and I just can't seem to keep the rules, and I can't seem to stay out. And Jesus says, and I do what I want to do sometimes and not what Jesus says, and then give up. And maybe you fall into that category where you just gave up. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't keep all the rules. And some people view it as, let's look at it this way. Some people view the church as, everybody carries this in their pocket, right? Yeah. Just a boundary. This is the line. And I want to know where the line is so I can get as close to the line as possible and still be safe. Maybe reach over a little bit. But a lot of Christians and young Christians, they want to know where that line is so I can live as close to it as possible. Because it seems like an awful lot of fun over there on the other side of the line, and I want to be as close as I can. And I kind of grew up that way. I want to know where the line is because I want to make sure I stay safe. I want to be okay. But I was never much of a risk taker, so I didn't hang around the line too much. But I could be one that looked at others on the other side of the line and be judgmental. Hey, you better get in the game. You're in trouble out there outside of the lines. Jesus says, so get in here and do what Jesus says. And I could tend to be a little bit judgmental. And there are a lot of Christians that look at it this way, that okay, well, I've got my safety rope, got my safety line, and it's connected in here on that side of the line, but you know, I want to live out here a little bit. I like it on this side of the line. I'm a member of a church. Of course, I haven't been there for years and years, but I'm a member of that church. But I want to live my life my way. I've been baptized, so I got my safety line. I'm baptized so I can go live my life. It was that Jesus, how do you say that? Jesus saved me from my sins, not Jesus saved me to sin. And a lot of people view this following Christ as, well, I'm saved, and so I can do what I want. But what did Paul say in Romans chapter 6? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been buried with Him, raised into a new life? Well, he begins that with, should we continue in sin? Should we keep on sinning so that grace, I'm under God's grace and grace is going to abound towards me? And he says, absolutely not. And Jesus in Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. And in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I want you to do? But we look at it as just the rules. A lot of people look at it at rules. And it's really in a selfish way. I want to know what's in it for me. What can I do? How can I live my life? Can I live my life the way I want and still be okay? I want the benefits of eternal life. I want to go to heaven, but I still want to live my life my way. Well, here in Matthew chapter 9, we find what Jesus says. As he's walking down the road, he comes across the tax booth. And there is Matthew. And he simply says, in the invitation, simply says, follow me. Follow me. It's not a set of rules to follow. It's now religion says there's a set of rules, and that's the old covenant. Under this new way, it's about relationship. It's come and have a relationship with me. Come and spend time with me. Come spend time with my people. Well, Jesus and those with whom he had relationship, his disciples, were walking down the road as they often did. They came to the toll booth. There's the tax collector, Matthew, in his booth. I was on the Polhite Parkway the other day, so I had to stop at the booth and pay my tax. Really, that's what it is, a tax. When they first rearranged the lines down there and the lanes, and it was all new to me at that time. I'd only been on it once or twice before. But they changed all the lanes around, and there I was in the wrong lane. But I didn't have one of those little boxes in my car as I breezed right through with everybody else. Good thing they were extending grace because they had recently changed the lines and the lanes. And I called them right away and got it all taken care of. Well, that's what Matthew, here he is in his booth. Now, tax collectors were not liked. They were despised. They taxed people on their crops, on their land, on their livestock. You could be taxed just for what you're carrying down the road. Or it was like a toll road. But Jesus came up to Matthew and he says, "Follow me." And Jesus had this manner about him that people were drawn to him. And there were people around him. And Matthew said, "Okay, where are we going?" "We're going to your house." "All right." And Jesus is leading the way. "Do you know what? Wait, Jesus, we're going to take the shortcut." "Oh, you know about the shortcut." "Well, what are we going to do there, Jesus?" "You're going to feed us all." Remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man, and the wee little man was he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when Jesus came along, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Follow me." "All right, where are we going?" "We're going to your house." "Well, what are we going to do there?" "You're going to feed us all." Well, that's what's taking place. Matthew takes Jesus and all the guests into his home, and there are others that show up. But the simple question that Jesus made of the of Matthew, same one he made of the disciples that were with him, made of the sinners that ate with him, "Will you follow me?" You see, you follow what you're tied to. There were a couple of guys out hunting. They wandered into a farm that they thought was abandoned, an empty farm. The barn was leaning over like it was going to fall over. The house was dilapidated. There were old cars and car parts laying everywhere. And as they're exploring this farm, they came across a well. "I wonder how deep this well is. I don't know. Well, let's throw something in it." They looked around and found an old transmission. "Come on, help me. Let's throw this transmission in there." They took this transmission over to the well and they watched and they listened. "Wow, it's a deep well. I haven't heard anything." Then they began to wander off, and all of a sudden a goat came running at them. Head down, came right at them. They jumped out of the way and the goat went right down into the well. It wasn't long after that, the old farmer came out and said, "Hey, have you seen my goat?" They said, "Yeah, your goat nearly killed us. It charged right at us, head down, and then went right down into the well. You should keep that goat tied up." He said, "Well, I did. I thought I tied it to an old transmission." You see, you tend to follow what you're tied to. So let me ask you this. What are you tied to? Where do you spend your time and your energy and your resources? Jesus put it this way, where your treasure is, that's really where your heart is. That's what you're tied to. That's what you value. That's what you value above all else. Now, who qualifies for this call to follow me? Well, only good people qualify. No, that's not right. Those who are religious are qualified. No, that's not it either. Jesus calls everyone. Verse 10. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. These tax collectors were despised. You see, they were fellow Jews, most of them, but they collected money for the Roman government. And they despised being ruled by the Roman government. These were Gentiles. We're sending our resources to these Gentiles. And many of these tax collectors lined their pockets. Sometimes they'd come up with an extra. That's how they got paid, so they could make up some taxes along the way if they needed some resources. And sometimes they just, quite frankly, robbed from the people. So the tax collectors, they were the lowest of the low. In fact, they were in their own category. He didn't even count them in with sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus, his call was to everyone. He called Matthew right where he was. He calls sinners right where they are. He knows every mistake. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. But he wouldn't be uncomfortable with you. Now, you may not be a religious person here today visiting. You might not be religious. You might in fact have been anti-Christian in your life. You're not sure about all this church stuff and all this faith. And if you are here today and you feel something other than acceptance and love from us, then the problem is with us, not our Savior. Because He was comfortable reaching out and loving those who were far from Him. Now, who were the ones uncomfortable with all this? The Pharisees were uncomfortable. Verse 11 and 12, "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" Then he goes on and says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and sacrifice. For I came to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now I'm trying to picture this event. Here Jesus is in the house with Matthew, tax collectors and sinners and disciples. And I wonder, how do the Pharisees see this? Is this maybe on top of the house or an open air room? When we were in Haiti last year, in the Terranor compound where we slept and ate, we ate on the third floor, third level, and it was open air. And you could walk over to the edge on one side, there was a wall, and you could look over and you could see the compound and the school and the church in there. On the other side, you'd look over the wall and you could see the neighborhood, the other houses next to the compound. But we were within the walled compound, and when we sat to eat, people really couldn't see in. And I'm trying to picture, okay, Jesus is reclining with his disciples and all these sinners. And the Pharisees happened to be walking by. And I don't know what it was like, but I'm just picturing them walking down a hill and they look over and they can see maybe this open air room. And they're, hey, psst, isn't that Jesus in there and his disciples? Yeah. And look, that's Matthew's house. And oh, I know that guy. He's been in and out of jail a lot. And oh, now that's a real scoundrel over there. What? We knew something was up with him, but now look who he's hanging out with. And Jesus overhears. When they ask the disciples, "What's he doing eating with sinners?" And Jesus says to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, only those who are sick." I'm here for the sick. Now, think about these words, the prophet Hosea. They would have known the words of the prophet Hosea. He's reading out of the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." That here was God confronting the people of Israel through Hosea in the Old Covenant that the people were just going through the motions of worship. They didn't have any love for the Lord their God. They had no relationship with God. But they were going through the motions. Some went through the motions for fear of what might happen if I break the rules. Some went through the motions of worship and sacrifice, offering their sacrifices of God out of obligation. Some, especially the religious leaders, went through the motions of worship for what it gave them and their prestige and their resources. But there were a few that worshiped God because they loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and they loved to be with God and they loved to worship God. And Jesus was confronting those that just went through the motions, that they didn't really care about people. They didn't care about those around them. Acknowledging that when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you can't help to love other people. When you're following Jesus, you can't help to love the hurting, the brokenhearted, the sick. And I wonder what Matthew and his friends thought. Sick. Maybe one of his tax collector or sinner friends said, Matthew, he said, we're sick. What's he mean? What's he mean by that, we're sick? He said, maybe Matthew turned and said, look at us. We're sick. We're a bunch of messed up people. Look at us. We need help. And we need to come to the point where we acknowledge that we are sick and we are sinners and we need help and we need a Savior. And it's not about following a bunch of rules. It's not about going through the motions of worship once a week and then go live my life the way I want. Now just think about it. Men, if your relationship or your marriage was about following a bunch of rules, and you get out your rule book or your rule card, and I need to tell my wife goodbye and give her a kiss before I leave. So you go, I'm leaving, honey, give her a kiss. Check. Got that one. Oh, it says here I need to tell her I love her too. Honey, I love you. Have a good day. Check. I need to clean up after myself so she doesn't fall and hurt. I'll go do that before I leave. Check. Wives, what would you think about that relationship if your husband went through the motions of being a husband and following a set of rules and checking them off as he went through, rather than out of a deep relationship and love for you that he can't wait to give you that kiss before he leaves and to tell you that he loves you. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now some of you might have friends that say, well, I don't go to church because there are a bunch of hypocrites there. Just say, I know. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. For none of us are as good the rest of the week as we are on Sunday. But we're trying. We're trying. We're just, the greatest thing about the church is we're all at different levels of faith. And we're all at different levels headed in the same direction. And we're all trying to get better. Some are up here. Some are down here. Some should be up here, but they're still down here. Some are over here. Some are up here. But we're all working together to be better. So yes, you're right. We're all a bunch of hypocrites, and I'm sorry about that. You see, we should never think that we believe all the right things and do all the right things and stop there. If we do, we'll tend to judge those on the outside who don't believe the right things and who don't do all the right things. We might find ourselves standing on the outside of the very room that Jesus inhabits as He calls the sick and the sinners. You see, we've been called to partner with Jesus to reach the sick and the sinners. It's not enough just to believe right and behave right. Otherwise, we might be just like the Pharisees. You see, Pharisees look at those on the outside, those on the other side of the line, and say, when you're good enough, when you get it all together, then you can come over here. But Jesus said, come over here, and we'll help you be better. Come over here and follow me, and you will change. You will be changed. When we look out, we expect people to change before they follow Jesus. Now here's what following Jesus means. Three, quickly. One, only sinners are invited. That's all Jesus invited. After all, that's all He could invite. That's all we all are, sinners. So if you're a sinner, then you qualify. There's no sin, no habit, no addiction, no lifestyle that puts you outside of the circle of invited. Second, this is an invitation to a relationship, not to a set of rules. When you grow in love with the Lord, your God, it changes you. When you spend time with Him, spend time with His people. And third, following Jesus moves me to love you and not judge you. You see, love acknowledges that I'm imperfect and you are imperfect. I'm going to be less critical of you because I'm a work in progress too. And this is what makes the church great. The question is not, am I going to church regularly? How much Scripture do I know? How obedient am I? The question is, am I following Jesus? And if I'm following Jesus, I love to be in His church. I love being with His people. I love reading His Word. I love talking to Him. It starts with a relationship and ends with obedience. Romans 2:4, the Apostle Paul tells us that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance, not His wrath. It's His kindness. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to spend time with His people, with His body, with Him. And then that will change us. On May 23rd, 1987, I'd entered into a contract with Rebecca Eileen Broach. We signed the legal documents. They're, you can go find them in Decatur, Georgia. And now from then on, she can be called my wife. And she can sign her name, Rebecca E. Wines or Becky Wines. We had an agreement. We signed it legally. But what if that's all there was to it? What if we had never spent all those hours and walks over the years that we love to take together? What if we had never spent all those hours in the car together on all those miles we have traveled? What if we didn't live together or ever spend any time together? What if I had avoided her family and not gone to any family gatherings? What if we never talked? Or it was just a contract we signed years ago. Then we'd be missing out on the best part, the relationship. And my prayer is that you would not miss out on the best part of following Jesus. And that's the relationship with Him and His people. It goes together, hand in hand. I think we've lost this over the years. We've got to get better at it. You see, the early church, they spent time together throughout the week and ate one another's homes. They would sell a piece of land if it meant, I have an extra piece of land. If it's going to help somebody in the family, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell some of my possessions. I'm going to give stuff away to help somebody in the family. Because of this relationship they had with one another. Heavenly Father, Thank you for calling all of us. We're all a bunch of sinners. You've called us out of our sin to leave that life, to live a new life. Sometimes we've made mistakes, but we're trying, Lord. We want to be better. And we're all at different levels of maturity on this journey of faith. And I pray that we would never point out one another's mistakes, but we'd encourage one another and love one another. That we would love being with you and love being with your people. Because that's what it's all about. Father, now, the call that you made through Jesus on that road to Matthew you are making today. Follow me. Follow me. And maybe there's one or two here today, Lord, that need to answer that call. And I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out and say, I need to answer the call. To confess Jesus as my Lord. To call upon His name for salvation. To be buried with Him in baptism, raised into a new life. A new person, a new relationship. Give them the courage to step out today. In Jesus' name, amen.